BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to the baseball stuff in just a little bit and continue with your calls at 888-808-1019. Right now, we're going to talk a little Giants with our buddy Jonathan Casillas. You know, Jonathan, I'm fired up about this game. The one thing is I cannot get past the significant injury of Andrew Thomas. What are we looking at here for the Giants' new offensive line going into the Sunday versus the Eagles?
What's up, fellas? Yeah, it's a big-time injury. You know, we talked about before the season, you know, what's the most, you know, which position we don't want to see go down, and we all said Andrew Thomas. Like, that was – he was, like, the exception. Like, we didn't include him because if he goes down, we're in a world of trouble, and I do believe we're in a world of trouble with Andrew Thomas going down. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's been playing at that all-pro level like he has been in the past, but he's still the best offensive lineman that the Giants have, one of the best players on the team, one of the best players in the NFL. With him going down, it's questions, right? What do you do? Do you put Evan Neal at left tackle? He's been predominantly working at right tackle. Does Azudu go to left tackle? Does, you know, Aluminor go kicked over to left tackle and then Azudu or Evan Neal goes up? So it's a lot of questions. You know, Dayball's probably not going to say anything until game time. You know how Dayball is. So I'm sitting here with my hands in the air like, what are the Giants going to do? I have no idea. But to minimize this in any type of way, is a sin because Andrew Thomas is a great freaking player.
Yeah, he really is, man. And it's an absolute shame. I think it's going to be Azudu, by the way. That's my opinion. The fact that Evan Neal doesn't even seem to be really under consideration tells you all you need to know about Evan Neal, no?
It baffles me, guys. It baffles me that he's not playing at all. Like,
well, he stinks.
First of all, I hear you, but I'm saying like this. I'm not even talking about the five or the six when they bring in an extra lineman. I'm thinking a field goal pro when they're bringing two extra linemen.
Yeah.
Bro, he has zero snaps this year. I don't even know a player in the NFL that suits up for every game that has zero snaps. Nice. I have, besides the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very concerning to me. I don't understand it, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
Understood. One more thing about Thomas real quick. So last year when he basically shredded his hamstring early against Dallas, everything changed. And maybe it would have been a good season anyway, but it really complicated the first six or seven games without him. It's 2 years in a row now, and he is a great player. He's 25. Two leg injuries. At what you played, I don't know. At what point do you start to worry about just being a great injury-prone player?
Good question. So I feel like I was an injury guy. You know, I feel like if you look around the league, like Odell Beckham, he's an injury guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys are susceptible to injuries. You know, like everybody can't be a Ray Lewis. Everybody can't be a Rondé Barber who plays 17 years, doesn't miss a game. I don't know what it is. I think it's the integrity of bone density and ligament structure, to be honest with you, because, like, it, I literally could not stay healthy, fellas, like, my entire career. I was always freaking hurt.
Was it soft tissue, or was it, like, bone vertebrae stuff?
I had a lot of ligament stuff.
Got it.
So I had MCLs, meniscus. Yeah. I had my Lisfranc in my foot. I had a shoulder deal. You know, I think some guys are just more susceptible than other guys. Of course, you have freak of nature type injuries, and it looks like, you know, Thomas might be one of those guys, you know, but look, I played 9 years after missing my whole second year with a Lisfranc injury, you know, so it's not impossible for him to bounce back and be good for the rest of his career. But, you know, it's a problem now. And I think, you know, if he does, you know, come back and gets hurt again, it's going to definitely, you know, have implications on whether he's the highest paid offensive tackle in the league or not. You know what I mean? I think that's going to be a problem for him personally, but I don't think that's something that you should worry about. And I say worry about because, look, these guys get hurt. It's the NFL. Everybody gets hurt. You know, it's not about if, it's about when. You know, hopefully he can recover and come back full strength next year.
BT and Sal on the fan. We're talking with Jonathan Casillas ahead of the Giants-Eagles game Sunday at 1 o'clock, a huge game for Big Blue. So how do they compensate for Jonathan offensively? They've been struggling anyway. Now without Thomas, how do you make up for that?
To be honest with you guys, we're sitting there watching the game, and I'm Bob Popper. You guys know Bob.
He does, you know, the play-by-play.
He sat down for an extra 30 to 40 minutes after the game because he was so puzzled at what he saw out there. Like, I don't understand what we're seeing at MetLife Stadium, because on the road, the Giants look like a capable team. They look like they can score some points. Their defense, you know, the two wins on the road, 7 sacks and 8 sacks apiece. Not that the defense, you know, the defense actually the ones that kept them in the game last week, but offensively, one touchdown at home in 3 games, basically all field goals, and then now you can't make field goals. It's like, what are we watching here? You know, I'm sitting there looking like, I swear that this is going to be a high-scoring game. The defense for the Bengals is not that good, rushing-wise, passing-wise, and the offense looked stagnant the entire game, while the defense, and this is what I said, we talked to Dave Stapham. He was the play-by-play guy for the Bengals right before the game. And I talked to him. I was like, hey, what is it about Joe Burrow that he never looks rattled? Like, he always looks like Joe Burrow, even when he's getting sacked 8 times in the playoffs. Like, he always looked like Joe Burrow. I swear, guys, that was the first time I see Joe Burrow look rattled. And the Giants could not capitalize on it. What is going on? I'm like, what am I watching here? Why does this team look like this at MetLife? And this is 2 years now with Daniel Jones at MetLife. Two years of him just not being a capable quarterback at home. I don't know what I'm looking at, fellas. I don't know what I'm watching.
Well, I mean, I could easily volley back and say when you don't know what you're looking at, you probably do know what you're looking at. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. But what? Why the big discrepancy from away to home? You know, like, I don't, like, I understand, like, okay, he's not a good quarterback, but he plays pretty good on the road for some reason. But then at home, it's like, what is this? What am I looking at home?
Do you think he's a good quarterback, Jonathan? Bottom line, you think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback?
No.
Okay, me neither. It's not a big secret. Like, so go ahead, continue. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I can't defend what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm seeing a good quarterback play at football. Like, MetLife Stadium, the guy has 1 touchdown in 3 games. Like, I don't, and then last year, I can't even put last year in there because that makes him far below what I'm even seeing this year. You know, so it's mind-boggling to me. I'm just trying to figure out because, first of all, guys, I love playing at home. I love playing at in night games. But it's like he's 1-14. Was it 1-13, 1-14 in primetime games? And it's like this is what, like, everybody dreams of not just playing in the NFL, but playing Sunday night football, Monday night football. I don't think anybody dreams of playing on Thursday night football, but, like, you dream of those moments at home in front of your crowd. Yeah. And I just don't understand what I'm seeing, guys.
I mean, it's been so bad, it should probably be a Jet instead of a Giant. Jonathan Casillas, BT and Sal, here on The Fan.
You know, BT, I'm so glad you don't care as much about the Giants as you do the Jets, because I heard you the other day.
Oh, God.
I saw you throw the helmet. I was like,
oh, you did. You actually,
I'm so
wait till you hear me Monday.
If
they don't show up in Pittsburgh Monday, I don't know what I'm going to do Monday. Listen, one of the reasons I love having you on, and we love having you on, Jonathan Casillas, by the way, BT and Sal on The Fan, part of the Giants broadcast crew, played for the Giants, great, is that you, unlike a lot of people in your position, this is the ultimate compliment, by the way, you straddle the line of being objective, but also being raw and keeping it real. So we relate to you, all right? I got to say, though, even in those moments of rawness and realness, there's still elements of positivity. This is the first time, and we've had you on probably 15, 20 times by now, so something like that, where I almost feel, and I'm hearing despondency, like I feel like you think the season's over. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think the season's over. I really don't. This is a huge game this week against Philly. I can't put anything on the offense, right? Because what I'm seeing, you know, I'm literally week to week with you guys. Like I say, hey, look, you know, after the Seattle game, I said, you know, I wasn't, you know, thinking that they could actually beat Seattle, but they did, and they looked pretty good. The offense looked pretty good. Defense was amazing. This week, I watched the defense go out there and play a great game against a very talented quarterback. And we talked about the Bengals being a good team, and I accidentally said that they were, but their offense is undoubtedly a great offense. 38 points the week before against a very tough Ravens team, and they basically shut them down. 17 points from that Ravens, that Bengals offense with no productivity from the Giants offense. I'm not saying the season is a wash because I've seen teams come out of slumps. I've seen teams turn it around. But this is my thing. Can the defense do, like, the incredible? Can they look incredible? Can they do 7 points allowed? Can they do 10 points allowed at home? because that's what it's going to have to take. And if you rewind to my 2016 season, when I was the captain of the Giants and we went 11-5, we beat Dallas twice that year. That at home, we beat them 10-7, guys. It's going to take those type of defensive performances for at home. If I think they're capable of doing that. If the defense was trash, I would say the season is over. But the defense actually gives them a chance. And I'm talking about a 10-7 game. I'm talking about a 13-9 game. I'm talking about one of those type of games. I think their defense can do that.
Yeah, you look at it, the Giants should have an advantage. You would think, Jonathan, with head coach going in, you would think with the defense, I know Philadelphia's offense hasn't been what it was. It could be dangerous, but still, I mean, on paper, even without Thomas, which sucks to have him, but you get Neighbors back, even with Daniel Jones being the quarterback, I still feel good about this game. I think this is finally the time where maybe the Giants get the Eagles in a must-win spot as opposed to just, you know, the end of the season last year where it didn't really matter much. This is a huge game for the Giants. They got to get a division win. I think they can Sunday.
And the Eagles we're seeing now is closer to the end of the season, 2023 season Eagles, than it was in the beginning of the season Eagles. You know, halfway through, well, not even. Yeah, halfway through the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, against the Browns, it was tied. It was 13-13. And yes, the Browns' defense is pretty decent. Their offense is horrible, very horrible. Their offense over there, I think they only scored 6 points on offense. I think they had a blocked field goal. But let's throw away the Browns. Like, the Eagles are a decent team right now. They do have some great talent. A.J. Brown is a monster. He's averaging like 120 yards a game. And Saquon Barkley's coming back to MetLife. That scares me, fellas. I know Saquon. He's a prideful guy.
Yeah.
And if Sirianni is smart, you would try to give him the ball at least 30 times in the game. Averaging...
Sorry, John. Don't you think
he's not a bad receiver?
Don't you think there's only so much he could do? Like, I get what you're saying, and in theory, yeah, he'd want to stick it to him and go nuts. He's going to be booed vociferously. But don't you think there's only so much he could do as a running back? It's kind of out of his control.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he doesn't get the ball every play. The guy that gets the ball every play is Jalen Hurts, and we've seen Jalen Hurts be an excellent quarterback, and we've seen him be a subpar quarterback. Who's the quarterback we're going to see show up on Sunday is the question. A.J. Brown is healthy. A.J. Brown is scary. Devontae Smith is very good. Goddard is good. They have a great offensive, you know, talent pool led by a questionable Jekyll and Hyde type of quarterback, right? But look at the other side, Daniel Jones. What Daniel Jones are we going to see? You know, if Jalen Hurts show up like we've seen him in 2022 or Jalen Hurts we've seen him in the beginning of 2023,
yeah,
it could be a very long day for the New York Giants.
Well, you know the answer. The game's at MetLife, so we know it's Daniel Jones who showed up. Not the good one.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Hey, all right, fellas. Good talking to you, man.
You got something else you wanted to add there real quick? Go ahead if you got something.
What's the kid's name? What's his name? The kid that always kills the Giants. What's his name? Boston. He's a running back.
Boston Scott, you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes, that guy.
Oh, running back.
He's not on the team for the Eagles, so I feel a little more confident. I don't know what it is about that dude, but he's like the kryptonite for the Giants. Guy is a jag. You know what a jag is?
Just a guy.
He's a jag at best, but he plays like an all-pro against the Giants. So he's not there, so I think the Giants have a chance.
We'll see what happens Sunday at 1. Of course, catch Jonathan right here on the Fan for all the pregame and postgame stuff. Thanks, Jonathan. We appreciate it.
All right, fella, take it easy.
See you later, man. He's the best, dude.
Legit,
I love Jonathan Casillas.
Legit love talking to him.
Yep.
Like, I actually can't wait to hang out with him after the season. Hopefully we get together.
The stakeout will go down.
Yeah,
rails.
We'll go
to the rails.
Frank wants to hang out and talk some football. We'll get Hoff involved.
Hoff's got to come. He's just he's a real dude. And listen, he's in a tough spot. He works for the Giants, and he always, you know, tries to respect the Giants. Never disrespects the Giants, but he keeps it real.
Right.
And that's harder than I think some people would imagine. I don't know if I'm more impressed with him or the fact that you dropped the word vociferously.
Yeah, wow.
Very slyly placed. Nicely done.
Yeah, I deduce a lot from our conversation.
Deduce. I do lean on that word once in a while. Yeah, it's a couple words I say a little too often. Deduce, I drop that a lot. It's not even a big word.
No, I know. I get it. It's just a
now
BT
when I go to
word.
Deduction, I church it up a little bit.